Let us pray.
Father, we bless your holy name. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your call that is sure upon all your children. Thank you for the ministers of the gospel listening to these all over the world. Thank you for your mercies that is so rich. Thank you because this call is not a function of our perfection, but your grace sought for us and brought us out of the pit and brought us into the place where we minister to your people. Thank you because this election is not election according to works. You have not called us based on our qualification, but you are qualifying us in the process. Thank you for this minister's mentorship session. Thank you for lives upon lives, ministries that will receive transformation through this platform. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Father, as your word will come out, I ask that you will release life upon callings. You will breathe life upon ministries. Those who have received your call but are at the verge of giving up, those who are confused about what you will have them do, my Father and my God, we ask that there will be illumination in the name of Jesus. Life will flow, Lord. Ministries will be revived. Ministers will be strengthened. The body of Christ will be edified, and you will be glorified in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that with clarity and simplicity, your word will administer life to your people. Nobody here listening to this word is permitted to remain the same. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so the first teaching session for this mentorship week is titled Ministry and Matters Around It. Ministry and matters around it. So we'll be looking at subject like what ministry is and what ministry is not. And then we'll be looking at the wings of ministry, the balance of ministry, and then how to go about ministry. And then from there, we go into different topics as the Lord will be leading us. So I want us to first look at the scripture so we can understand better the things we'll be dealing with. Amen. Now, let's look at the book of 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll start the reading from verse 1. Amen. No, just don't worry. Just listen from here. 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. But I want us to look at that verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Right? The King James Version says that, seeing therefore that we have this ministry, having received mercy. All right. So what qualifies a man for ministry is the benevolence of God. What qualifies a man for ministry is the benevolence of God. Paul, speaking about his ministry, said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. All right. The calling of God is an election that is sure, not according to works. Right, the call to ministry is not according to what? To works. All right, let me give you an instance. For example, when we look at the subject of salvation, you are not saved based on your good works. All right, you are saved based on the works that Christ has finished. Glory to God. Amen. So the calling of ministry is according to what? Mercy. Let's look at another scripture that brings light to that. Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9, we look at it. If you are there, say amen. Okay, let's start the reading from verse 14. Romans chapter number 9 from verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. All right, meaning that the call of God is a reflection of how gracious God is. You are not called to ministry because you know how to do things well. Now, those who are calling to ministry is a function of what they do well. What they do is that they fall into the delusion of relying on their human strength and capacity. Okay? So, since God called you by his mercies, you can only survive by relying on the one who called you by his mercies. All right? So, the reason why the foundation of calling is the mercy of God is so that the minister will not walk by strength, but by grace. Amen. If you look at the book of Zechariah chapter number 4 verse 6, the Bible says, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying unto him, not by strength, nor by power, but by what? My spirit says the Lord. Alright? So there is no point or no stage that the minister who is called to ministry will get to. No stage, there is no provision for him to assume his call as a function of strength. There is no provision for him to assume his calling is a function of what he's doing well. God called us out of our before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Jeremiah gave credence to that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. The young man was amazed as to why God would call a man as young as himself. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Okay, now look at it. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Now let's go quickly to verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to nations. Alright, so every ministry starts with a calling. Every ministry starts with what? A calling. Now, what determines, what tells that you have a ministry is that there must be a calling. Ministry is not a product of guesswork. Ministry is not a product of guesswork. The call of God is not to be assumed. God speaks clearly to his children. Amen. In the book of Mark, chapter number 4, from verse 12, the Bible was saying that these things to those who are outside, they are communicated in parables. So the call of God to ministry cannot be communicated in parables. God doesn't communicate your calling proverbially. It communicates calling clearly because it is a track that you are to run on. You cannot run on an assumed track. So the call is clear. Every calling comes loaded with specific instructions. Now, let me say this to you. No call at the beginning is the true reflection of all that your ministry entails. As the minister begins to grow better in the calling, as he learns to walk with God step by step, instructions will be coming based on the cooperation he's having with God. So every calling has potential for fulfillment in ministry. But the initial calling or the initial instruction that is backing your ministry is not the total reflection of all that God will have you do in your entire life. So in ministry, you run with what God is has said, and you keep running with what he is saying. You get what I'm saying now? You run with what God has said, and you keep running with what God is saying. Because sometimes tendencies are that God said do this because you were not set for something He will have you do in the future. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Very important. So now look at a minister. The life of a minister of God is like a plane. If you have boarded a plane before, when a plane is taken off from the airport, the pilot is in connection with the control tower. Alright, such that when probably any turbulence arises or there are situations, he can always reach out. And then they give him instructions of things to do that will save both the life of the pilot and the people on board. So in ministry, no minister can take off and remove connection from the control tower. The moment the connection is off, ministry stops. So where God's instructions are, there is ministry. Where the instruction stops, ministry stops. Is that very clear? Now, we're still speaking about the foundation of ministry, which is God's mercy. And then we said ministry will always come with a call. And the calling are loaded with instructions of the things that the Lord will have you do. Amen. Glory to Jesus. So a minister of God now, therefore, is not just a Christian, but a Christian who has been called to hear God's voice as touching what God will have him do in the kingdom. If you understand that, say amen. Now, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God speaking here says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I love the way NIV put it, said, to give you a hope and a future. So, the call of God is the reflection of the thought of God towards you. The call of God on your life is a reflection of the thoughts of God towards you. Now, you must understand the following things about the call of God. One, no call or no calling is mysterious. The call of God is not mysterious. And let me quickly explain that. To explain this, let me take you quickly on the journey to the book of Ezekiel chapter number 3. Let's start from chapter 2 so you can understand chapter 3 very well. Chapter 2 is the calling, chapter 3 is the commissioning of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2. Let me start the reading from here. He said unto me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelite, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me till this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been amongst them. Now, this is a very thick instruction. The Lord speaking to him here says that, I am sending you to the midst of people who are very stubborn. Now, there are tough instructions in me, but they are tough, not mysterious. Now, the word mysterious means that someone is receiving a calling that he cannot trace in history to have seen anyone who has received such before. What that does is that it leads the so-called minister into occultic practices. Now, people begin to hear things, and then, you see, the calling of God on your life, don't complicate it. Okay? The fact that the calling is there, the devil wants to give you an assumption that you are so special. So God is giving you some mystical instruction. Like someone says that God is giving him instruction to, you know, I heard about a young man who said God is giving him instruction to begin to anoint people with saliva and they will be healed. Every call is within the context of God's word. You know, most times people fall out of the bounds of scriptures on the guise of the fact that God is omnipotent. That is, God can do as he likes. He's all powerful. But you see, if you understand the nature of God, the omnipotence of God is within the context of scripture. This is why God is not Lucifer. Do you understand that? The omnipotence of God is within what?
the context of scripture, God doesn't leave the jurisdiction of the world. For everyone that will do ministry in God, your safety is within the jurisdiction of the world. So don't receive instructions. Now, the same way God can call people, the devil also calls people. We are going there. All right? So sometimes people hear things. The fact that you heard a thing while praying is not a proof that you heard it divinely. You can hear the voice of your mind. You can hear the voice of your body. Particularly, you can hear the voice of the devil. And the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So when the devil is speaking to a minister while the calling is coming forth, he is speaking to steal what God wants to do with the minister. You get what I'm saying now? So a minister can receive tough instructions, but the instructions are not mystical. The word mystical there describes instructions that are outside the context of the word. Now, let this humble you as a minister. There is nothing you want to do that someone has not done before. Okay? You must understand that. Now, you can pay prices in ministry. You are not in ministry to break the record of any minister. You are not in ministry to break the record of any generation. You are in ministry to go where you are told to go and do what you are told to do. This is ministry. All right. The moment a minister begins to get into the race of breaking records of fathers who have gone ahead, or breaking record of people who have gone ahead of them, or breaking record of so and so apostles, those you read in God's generals, what you will do is that you will leave the track of your calling and begin to run another man's race. So ministers are not called to break records. They are called to walk with God as He's sending them out. Jesus called His disciples that they should be with Him, then He might send them forth. Glory to God. And in Matthew chapter number 10, we saw where Jesus told them to go out two by two, and He gave them specific instructions of things they should do in the kingdom. In Matthew 28 verse 19, the Bible says that, "Go ye therefore to all the nations of the world and make what? Disciples." Every instruction, every calling comes with clear words. So the moment you are perceiving in your heart that there is a calling upon your life, run on the basis of perception. Wait for clarity. Okay? That's very important. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Don't run out to start doing things on the basis of what? Mere perception. There is clarity that comes with ministry. So we are talking about what calling is. Number one, we said the calling of God on your life is not what? Is not what? Is not mysterious. Number two, every calling is with the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Every calling is with the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Meaning that God cannot call you to pull down the body. Nobody has ministry of destroying the body. God has not called you to destroy the works of other ministers or other ministries. You don't destroy error through error. You must understand that. Every man called is called with the sole purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Quickly, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Very important scripture. When you are having a discussion like this. Now look at it. I start the reading from verse 7. "But to each one of us has been given as Christ apportioned it." This is why it says, "When He ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to His people." What does "He ascended" mean, except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Christ Himself gave apostles, gave the prophet, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip the people. Note that. To equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The word "edify" means to build up. Amen. So the work of a minister is a builder. A minister is not a destroyer of the body of Christ. Amen. Paul said, "I, as a wise master builder, have laid well the foundation, and let everyone be careful what they build thereupon." Every call of God upon your life as a minister is to build. I read that scripture I quoted now. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 from verse 10. Now look at it. It said, By the grace of God given me, I have laid the foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than that which already is laid, which is Jesus. Meaning that the foundation of building defining the body of Christ is Christ. You cannot build on anything other than Christ. Meaning that in all your respective ministries, Christ must be more popular. Is the foundation. Amen. So no minister has the calling to destroy. You see, now someone asks me a question. Pastor, how about in a situation where we can see clearly that these ministers are walking in error? How should we handle such a situation? It is very simple. You cancel out error by taking a stand on the truth, not by going to fight the error. When you stand on the truth neutralizes error. But you see, you can leave the region of what God has called you to do in truth and then meander out of the way to start fighting error. And in no distance, you have no trace in ministry because you have left your track. Amen. So every minister is what? A builder. You have been called to edify the body of Christ. What is number one? No calling is mysterious. Number two, every calling is with the sole purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Now, to edify the body of Christ is to build up saints. To build up saints. To build up saints. To build up saints. Now, what is the body? Let's look at Ephesians, that same Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's get there quickly. So we have the assignment of building the saints. I have been called as a builder. Amen. Now, look at it. Ephesians 5. If you are there, say amen. Let's start the reading from verse 21. Ephesians 5 from verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Meaning that the body of Christ is the church. Amen. The body of Christ is what? The church. So the church here is not a building. The church here is a people. And look at it. There was a quality of people that was described there. Are you there? That's in Ephesians 5 from verse 22, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So the body of Christ, the body of Christ describes those who are saved in Christ. So when you are saved, you have joined the body of Christ. You are one body with Christ. Amen. Let me show you a scripture that validates that. Ephesians chapter number 4 from verse 4. Ephesians 4 from verse 4. If you are there, say amen. Alright, let's look at it. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called into one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But if you look at verse 4, it says that there is what? One body. So the body of Christ is one. And the moment a man is saved, the moment he has confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he is part of the body. And all your calling, you see, look up. Let's look at it like this. We can say at this point that the call of God for ministry on every minister, there is a general calling. In Matthew 28 verse 19, that's the general calling. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations. What the Bible is saying there is that go and bring people into the body. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying now? We have a calling to those who are not saved. But you will see that calling to them is to bring them first into membership of the body. You cannot edify saved. You can only bring them into the body of Christ. Is that okay? Those who are not saved, you cannot edify them. Okay? You have not been called to go and edify them. You have been called to bring them into the body first. Those to be edified is to be built up. What a man who is lost in sin needs is not consistency, it is repentance.